right? Whenever that idea is followed through, you always have to remember the founding father of the one that came up with this idea. So I think it's very appropriate that to give a personal thanks to our dear 12th grader, Rabbeinu Eitan, that came up with this idea of getting together. You know, it's a pleasure to see some of you boys. Some of you I see in schools. Some of you boys I have in shir in the afternoon. Some of you boys during the year, I get the opportunity to see you by Shachris. But unfortunately, with the situation, you don't get that opportunity to joke around and whatever. And he made this, he made the opportunity for some little learning, for some divrei chizuk. It's a special thank you that comes. So when he asked me to speak divrei chizuk, we know as Jews, when we look for chizuk, and we try to find out what do we look for chizuk as Jews? Where's the address? The address where Jew looks for chizuk, he looks two places. First of all, he looks at the Jewish calendar, and he tries to think, what does the calendar teaching me? That's the first thing. Which we'll see what's significant of today's Hebrew date, a lesson that we can take out. And always as well, when a Jew looks for chizuk, a Jew looks for inspiration, and tries to get a message, he looks, what does the parasha teach me? So first of all, for those that aren't familiar, night is Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni. Let's go through a little bit, what's the story of Pesach Sheni, and what does Pesach Sheni teach us? Pesach Sheni, for those that aren't familiar, there was a group that came to Moshe Rabbeinu and told Moshe Rabbeinu that during when Klal Yisrael brought the Korban Pesach in Nisan, they were Tamei. So they went to Moshe Rabbeinu and they told Moshe Rabbeinu, why should we lose out that we were Tamei? We want a second chance. So Moshe Rabbeinu told him, this is not in my hands. I have to ask the Rebbeinu, I have to ask the Kaddish Baruch Hu. What does the Kaddish Baruch Hu tell him? Kaddish Baruch Hu tells him, you get round two, which was tomorrow. They brought in the afternoon, and they brought this in the afternoon, and he said, you know what, you got a second opportunity to bring it. What message does Pesach Sheni have for us? So I want to tell you over two things in regard to Pesach Sheni, and then I want to tell you a thought in regard to the parasha. The first thought comes, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's father-in-law, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok, he was known as the Mariatz, he was lived in 1950, so he said a beautiful thought about Pesach Sheni, and he said, what does Pesach Sheni teach us? He says, you know what it teaches us? It teaches us the following. He said it in Yiddish, and then I'll take it into English. He said in Yiddish, as nishdokin fafalun. What does that mean in English? It means to say in English, a person shouldn't take the attitude that there's no way how to fix. There's no way how to get a second chance. Pesach Sheni teaches us that if somebody's really looking for the second chance, there's a second chance that could be created. Remember, they were gone. They were tummy. They came to Hashem and they said, you know what? We want a second chance. And you know what happens? The second chance gets created. So, now remember, some things you're right, you can't correct. But there are things that if you come seriously that you want it, the second chance is there. Point number one of Pesach Sheni. Point number two of Pesach Sheni, Rashi brings a very interesting point. He says that really, Pesach Sheni was a halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu should have taught Klal Yisrael. But you know what happens? What happens is that the people, there's a Hebrew term, Megalglos Chusay Dezakai. It's very interesting. There's two concepts in the Torah which really Moshe Rabbeinu should have taught. But what happens is it gets initiated by other people. What are they? Pesach Sheni is a halacha. You don't bring Pesach Rishon, you have a chance of to bring Pesach Sheni. Okay? Who initiated this halacha? The people that came to Moshe Rabbeinu told them, we lost out round one. So you know what happened? because you came and they asked for it, okay, they got credit for that parsha. Again, what does this teach us? This teaches us that if somebody comes and says, you know what, we want to feel part of something, we want to be connected, not only do you get a second chance, but you get credit. Somebody that initiates something, somebody that becomes a leader, somebody that puts himself out there and realizes that, you know what, because I missed out round one, I don't want to lose forever. That person gets credit for it forever. Now, we find this twice. Once by Pesach Sheni. I don't know if anybody's familiar. There's a pasuk in the Torah which talks about the B'nai Slavchad. Let me explain you who the B'nai Slavchad was. There was someone, Slavchad, that died in the desert. He had no sons. His daughter comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and asks, what do we do if somebody died, he has no sons, and how does Yerusha work? How does inheritance work? So, okay, so somebody, I think it's right, you gotta mute this one. Okay? So what happens? They come to Hashem and they say, listen, how does it work if somebody doesn't have any sons? Remember, Eretz Yisrael was worked out that every portion was given from father to son, from father to son. That's the way the portions of Eretz Yisrael were given out. So Tzolofchad asks, the daughters, Tzolofchad didn't have any sons, he only has daughters. So he asks, how do we work this out? So Rashi says the same thing. Because you asked for it, and you were sincere, you wanted to keep up the portion in Eretz Yisrael, so you know what happens? Forever, you're going to be the one that's going to merit to be able to teach Klal Yisrael that. So I think these two lessons, let's look at the calendar, and then let's look at the parsha. The calendar tells us tomorrow's Pesach Sheni. I think these are two beautiful lessons that we can take out. Number one, the point of a person looking for second opportunities. And number two, if someone initiates something, they're the one that gets credit. I want to talk a little bit about something, maybe about the parsha as well. This is Parsha's Emor. And Parsha's Emor talks about two themes at the beginning, and I want to tie them together. Number one, it talks about Kedushas Kehuna. Right? The beauty of Kuhuna and the halachas of Kuhuna, what they have to keep. And then it gets into the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. I want to tie these two things together. The Kohen Gadol has a very interesting din. You know, the Kohen Gadol was quarantined forever. We've been quarantined since mid-March. And I don't know about you, I'm going out of my box. Right? I try to take a walk every day, but basically we're indoors. You know, the Kohen Gadol had to stay in the base of Mikdash the whole time. There's a din umin amigdash lo yetze, which was mentioned in this week's parasha, that the Kohen Gadol cannot leave the Beis HaMikdash. Now, there's a very, in Tanakh, there's a story about, there was a guy by the name of Shimi Ben Gera. And for those who aren't familiar, Shimi Ben Gera was the Rebbe of David HaMelech. Now, what happened was, Shimi ben Gera was very disrespectful to David HaMelech. So David HaMelech tells his son, right before he passes away, he tells his son, Shlomo HaMelech, you know, you got to figure something out with this guy. Don't kill him, but you know what, get him into trouble that you should have an excuse to kill him. Now, basically, to understand what happened was, you know, he didn't know if people will look at it as personal revenge. People won't understand that, remember, Shimi ben Gera halachically was chayiv misa. So he tells him, you know what, do something smart. Figure out some way to get rid of him. Okay. So what happens is, it's in the beginning of Malachim Aleph. I don't know if anybody ever learned this. Beginning of Malachim Aleph. So Shlomo HaMelech tells him, listen, you cannot leave Yerushalayim. The day you leave Yerushalayim, you're dead. The pasuk tells us, one day his slaves run away, he chases after the slaves, And what happens is, Shlomo HaMelech kills him. So Reb Chaim Shalevitz asks a simple question. I understand. What possessed him? He warned him. He told him, if you're going to leave Yerushalayim, what's going to happen? You're going to die. So what possessed him to go and violate what Shlomo HaMelech told him? So Chaim Shalevitz said an incredible idea. He said, a person does not like to follow orders. He realized Shimi ben Gera, from knowing his personality, he knew he had to get him into trouble and to kill him some way or another way. But he realized Shimi ben Gera could not tolerate being quarantined. He couldn't. So what does he do? He comes up with some type of idea that basically he should get into trouble, correct? And now we'll have an excuse to kill him. You know, I meet people in my neighborhood, I don't know, all year. I don't see these guys, some of them running to shul so often. All of a sudden now, they got to try to run to some porch minion, or they're becoming super duper from what they need a down with minion. Very interesting. You know why? Because there's a rule you can't, right now, because there's a rule you can't go outside your house. So all these guys, all of a sudden, they feel like quarantined is like being put into jail. It's true. Because when somebody is a independent thinker, the hardest thing he could tell him is to do what? You're limited where you could go. Now, why is it, you know, it's very interesting, all of us as human beings have the tendency to want to go places. So the Chazal say there's a reason behind it. You know, Adam Rishon, when he was created, there's a machlekas in the Gemara. There's one Madama in the Gemara that says that he was able to see from here all the way up to all the galaxies. The Gemara says that Adam Rishon was able to see from the world all the way up. And one Madama says, no, he was able to see from one part of the world to the other part of the world. That's what the Gemara tells us. You ever realize, as children or even adults, we have the tendency to want to go sightseeing. We have the tendency to want to explore new places. You know why? Because really, Chazal tells us, a person wants to be able to be back to where Adam Rishon was before the sin. Adam Rishon before the sin was limitless. What do we do with a kohen gadol in the Beis HaMikdash? We tell him we know the natural tendency of a person is to what? Is to want to see the world, to want to experience the world. But we want you to find happiness in the Beis HaMikdash. We want you to be able to find happiness by being constricted. It's not only the kohen gadol, it's all of us. Do we find happiness when we are confined with the world of halacha? Do we find happiness when we're confined with the world of Torah? Some people love it. But to some people, it's restrictions. Some people have the natural tendency to want to go and be able to explore the world out of halacha. But to some people, you know what? To them, you know, just like to all of us, I hope so. There's no one here that has the natural tendency, has a desire to eat in Burger King. There's some people that any form of halacha is the same attitude. You know why? Because they don't feel constrained. They don't feel confined. The Kohen Gadol was able to sit in the Beis HaMikdash the whole day. He did not feel quarantined. He felt he was in heaven. But what do you mean everybody else feels they have to run from one side of the world to the other side of the world unless they find happiness? Who says happiness is there? What is your definition of happiness? Now, this continues to the next thing. The next thing is, there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And then what's the final theme of the parasha? There's three themes in the parasha about kuhuna, okay? about Klal, which talks about Beis HaMikdash. There's about Klal Yisrael, and then there's about Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Maral says that there's three things that there's place. The holiest place in the world is Kedusha. Then there's people. The holiest people is Klal Yisrael. Then you have the holiest days. What are the holiest days? Shabbos and Yom Tov. The theme of the parsha of Emor is a continuation of the previous parsha, which talks about Kedushim, and we're going into the different forms of Kedusha that is in the universe. There's Kedusha from the in people, in place. That's the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about how the Kohen Gadol has to say in the Beis HaMikdash. Then we get into the next thing, to the Kedusha of people, which is Klal Yisrael. And we have a job to make. Our job is what? Not to feel confined where we are, but to make a Kiddush Hashem. What's the final theme about Shabbos and Yom Tov? I want to share with you two stories which talk about what the concept of what Kiddusha is and what our job is as Jews. So I read once during this was in Auschwitz. It was the night of Rosh Hashanah. And there was an older Yid that was in Auschwitz. He calls the crowd together and he says, Rabbi Sai, I want to make Kiddush tonight. He's looking at me, you're out of your mind. You're in Auschwitz. What are you making Kiddush on? Wine, grape juice, challah. What are you making Kiddush on? No, we're going to make Kiddush. So they thought, you know, the guy is here for a long period of time. The guy went out of his box. He had a cup. He said, let's all cry with our all hearts. Let's go, let the pastor around the cup. It was a year that the families were in Auschwitz. They left their families. Everybody crying to this cup. And then let's hold the cup together. And then let's we can't make Kiddush on tears. But let's together hold this cup and say, you know what? We all went through the horrors of life. But we're all together ready to say that Kadosh, 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 that the Rabbani Shalom is, we accept what he says out of love. That's making Kedusha in this world. That is in the horror of life, in the horror of the Auschwitz. A person could take it and say, you know what? But I'm still ready to take the Rabbani Shalom as my king. I'm still ready to accept his decrees. Kiddush Hashem, of course, in Auschwitz, that's the most far, you know, thing, horrors, which you can ever imagine. I want to share with you one of the recent victims of the coronavirus. There's a Chabad Shliach in Germany. His last name is Wolf. His first name was Benjamin Wolf. When things are calm, Baruch Hashem, it's calming down to a certain extent over here. He was nifta, just like I would say, 10 days ago, this Chabad Shliach in Germany. Around 2-3 years ago, a friend of his, not a Chabad guy, came to Germany. And he asked him, you know, you're very talented. He says, if you would want to go and do something in the world of learning, to be a Rav or a Shiva, you could go live in a normal Jewish community. You're sitting in Germany with a bunch of Nazis. This is when he first came. If you look at what he accomplished over the years, what are you doing here? And he goes, you know what? And if you don't want to do something in the world of learning, you're a very talented guy. You could do something in the world of business. What are you doing in Germany? This is not a conducive place to raise Jewish children. And this Chabad guy, this Meshuggah, people looked at him as crazy. He would walk around the street with a yarmulke. What are you doing over here? She says, you know what I'm doing over here? I am doing over here that there should be Yiskada of Yiskada Shmei Rabba. I'm here to teach the people over here that there's a Rabban Shalom that's Kaddish. We are in Am Kaddish, and trying to take people that lost any connection to that to bring it back. That's not as horrific as the stories in Auschwitz, but that's someone making Kiddush Hashem Bizman Hazeh. Our job in the most horrific times, which if you think about this, over the last few weeks, going back since, when it was, I don't know about you, I personally took it very to heart. I wasn't feeling well myself, but like if to Purim, to lift the Pesach, about the tragedies that were befalling. You know what I was thinking about? I personally know families of families that had the sit shiva. This past Pesach, I don't know if anybody's familiar, there's an organization called Misaskim. Misaskim, if anybody's familiar, they bring shiva chairs, they bring water coolers. So now, you have to realize their job is much harder because when siblings sit shiva, basically, they're not sitting together. Sitting in separate homes, and most people don't even have open shiva houses. The shiva is through Zoom. If the Pesach, they never had this in their life, 1,000 people sat down to shiva. So of course it's depressing. But you know what? Another nation would say, God, where you forsaked us? You left me. I prayed for him. You know what those 1,000 people did? They did one thing. They went and said, Yiskada of Yiskada Shmei Rabba. What does a Jew ultimately want? A Jew ultimately wants that the world should be full of Kvayt Shemayim. Our job, as we get to be older, is for one thing. In whatever situation HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts you, I don't know if anybody of you will become a Chabad Shlich in Germany, I hope that the world will never come to it. That it should be a Holocaust. But one thing, our job is three words. Yiskadal v'yiskada shmei rabba. Our job is to create Kvayt Shemayim. And it's a job which was given to us. Okay? And you can't say, it's not a job which you could just retire and throw in the towel and say, it's not for me. If you were put into that position, you can do it. But it's difficult, so. Not everything in life comes in a golden platter. And it's sad. I was looking around the neighborhood and the older generation in a lot of communities disappeared. And I'm not talking about the 90-year-olds, the 70-year-olds, because they went out at the beginning when people didn't know what the danger was. And in many communities, many shuls, many families, some places the 90-year-olds were better than the 70-year-olds because the 90-year-olds were just locked up. The 70-year-olds were still going to work and going to shul when they didn't know what it was about. Those people that taught us what Kvayt Shemayim was about, the older generation, remember, it's my job, it's your job to fill in that gap. People ask, why do you say Kaddish when somebody dies? You know, the whole world of the word of Kaddish, if you know how to translate it into English, there's not one word that talks about death. If you can translate to English, you're basically asking that there should be Kiddush Hashem in this world, in the world to come, and you should accept the tefillos. There's nothing about death in there, right? People are obsessed about saying Kaddish, and they think it's a prayer for dead people. There's nothing in Kaddish about death. The Gemara brings a story that Rabbi Akiva once saw somebody in the next room. Where does Kaddish come with dead people? Rabbi Akiva once had a vision about someone that was suffering in the next world. And he asked him, Rabbi Akiva asked him, if there's anything we could do to take away your suffering. So he told him, yes. He said that I left over a son. And he says, if he says Kaddish, I'll be bailed out a little bit for my punishment. You know why? What does Kaddish have to do with a dead person? You know how we say it? Every Jew in the world has to be able to say Yiskadov, Yiskadish, Meirab. Every Jew in the world, it's his job to make that ultimate Kiddush Hashem. And you know what happens when somebody passes away? You know why you say it? Because that element is missing. Time is up. But I thank all of you that came to listen tonight and paid attention. In your own way, what you're saying is that your ultimate, what you're hoping for is these few words. And that's what a Jew lives for. Yiskadal v'yiskada shmei rabba. That ultimately, the world should be full of kvayt shemayim. Thank you for paying attention.